ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So this prayer means that I was born into darkness of ignorance, and that can be practically realized. At least, let me say this. I've practically realized that I've been born into ignorance. As even growing up, I had no idea where I came from. And nobody around me had a clue where I came from. And nor did anybody know where I was going. So that's a pretty frustrating situation. Where am I going? Where did I come from? I've just appeared suddenly here. And it looks a little bit difficult road ahead. Especially the idea of death, everything being reshuffled. So this prayer is really the prayer of someone who comes to realize his or her existential position in the world. So as a Vedic prayer, it starts with Om. So it's very serious and direct prayer. Om Ajnana. Timirandasya means without knowledge, Ajnana, and darkness. And then, through my teacher, or through my teachers, I've gained knowledge and light. My eyes have been opened. I have a clue where I'm going. So the student has gratitude, should have gratitude for the teacher. And it's very practical also. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about how to get this knowledge. There's various ways in which he recommends one live one's life, starting with being humble and prideless, amanit vama dambipa, ahimsa shantir arjavam, being nonviolent and peaceful, and approaching a spiritual master, ahimsa shantir arjavam. And in the Gita also, Krishna talks about how if you approach a person who's in knowledge, and you serve, and you inquire, and you're submissive, then that person can give you knowledge. And has anybody had, in any discipline in life, experienced this way in which by approaching a person who's got knowledge in your particular discipline, you're able to get knowledge? Yes?
Whenever I help in the temple kitchen, we have some big experts here. So there are many things I learned to make, including samosa. So I tried it out at home, and I owe my gratitude to them for teaching me.
Nice. Practical. Anything else?
So I remember learning from Akinchan Krishna Prabhu, because he's very expert in...
That was my one I was going to do. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was remembering how he's very expert in playing mridanga, and therefore he has his expertise in teaching as well, and making the knowledge of, I guess, playing mridanga understandable and applicable.
Yeah, I'll elaborate in a little bit. We have the same mridanga teacher. So sitting with Akinchana Krishna one Kartik, I had this experience just face-to-face, and he was teaching me things, not just how to play the mridanga. Of course, obviously, I haven't learned yet, but also the mood in which to play it, how to approach the mridanga, and so forth. And my realization, I was really enlivened by the experience of sitting face-to-face with a teacher, because what I experienced was he had spent a lot of his life learning how to play the mridanga, and that included practicing a lot. It also included sitting with his teachers and learning from them. And everything that he had gathered was consolidated, was in its essential form, in a way that he could give it to me. And I actually felt as if I was, well, sort of in modern terms, when you download something from another source. I almost felt like we were two computers sitting there, and he was sitting there, I was sitting there. Of course, now you even need the wire, but I was downloading whatever he had gotten, and I was thinking, this practically isn't fair. He's giving me the results of all the austerities that he's performed and all the knowledge that he's gained in essential form. And I felt so much gratitude. It was practically, I was thinking, this is like a shortcut. Of course, it doesn't mean you don't have to practice. You also have to apply what's there. But I really felt gratitude to him for giving me the time to just tell me everything he's learned. It's such a practical thing. And so this prayer, Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, saying, I'm offering obeisances to my spiritual teacher because by my teacher's grace, my eyes have been opened. And he's expressing it as almost like an operation where the eyes are opened with a surgical instrument there. Now you can see. So it's a very practical thing, and it's the way to approach the spiritual knowledge is with this feeling that I'm very much in need. If one has this great need, then one will deeply inquire and ask for it. And one of the remarkable things about our lives is that when we have that strong desire, there's reciprocation. Krishna reciprocates. And that's the beginning of one's devotional life, when one feels that reciprocation in one's life from wherever one may not even know in the beginning where it's coming from. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of Gajendra, who was an elephant. And it's very easy to relate to his story because he was living in a very opulent situation. And he had everything that he needed. He was the wealthiest of all the beasts. He was surrounded by a very healthy, beautiful family. He had extreme strength and he was very healthy. And in that state, he was a little bit intoxicated also. It's like it's natural in this world when one has everything that one needs, one's health, the wealth, you got enough money in the bank, your car works, full tank of gas. And there could be a moment there where one thinks, I'm okay, everything's fine. Is that possible? Yes. It's possible. Okay, could happen. And sometimes we see somebody has a nice new car and then they roll down the window, turn up the stereo, and they like lean outside the car, right? There's a phrase for it in America called copping a lean, because everything's good and I'm riding high on top of the world and I'm leaning out the window sort of like showing off that I'm happy. So Gajendra was like that, and he was going through the forest. Every animal showed him respect. And then we got to a beautiful lake. He was bathing his family members and taking a bath himself, cooling down in the hot summer. And when he was least expecting it, a crocodile grabbed his leg with his teeth and wouldn't let go. And then Gajendra fought for his life. At first, it was normally what he would do is simply fight, because it's a natural response when someone grabs your leg like that. And near the end of the fight, he had a revelation that I'm not going to be able to win. And part of it was that he was out of his element. He was in the water. And elephants do better on dry land. And the crocodile was doing better because he was in the water. So gradually the thought came to Gajendra that I'm not going to be able to win. And this thought may come to everybody in this material world at one point or another. When Gajendra realized that he was in deep trouble, he began to pray. And in the description of this struggle, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that Gajendra wasn't entirely clear who he was praying to at first. He just sincerely called out, And he did remember prayers from his last life. He was a king previously, and he had dutifully recited prayers every day to the Lord. And now, in the next life, as an elephant, he, in this time of need, remembered the prayers and began to sing them out. There were other beings in the universe, powerful beings, who heard those prayers, and they recognized these are not for us. And when the Supreme Lord heard his prayers, he was impressed with the quality of the prayers. Not that they were so beautifully composed, although they are, but that he was in such need that he was calling out. And so the Lord came on his carrier, Garuda, and he severed the head of the crocodile and saved Gajendra and liberated him. Therefore, in the section of the Bhagavatam, it talks about the liberation of Gajendra. And it was simply a deep felt prayer that Gajendra made, please save me. He even apologized while making the prayer that advanced devotees don't pray for help because they know that Krishna already is aware that we need help. He said, but I'm really in trouble right now. I have a crocodile on my leg. And the Lord responded. And there's a way in which whenever we make a sincere prayer to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he'll respond in one way or the other. He's always attentive to our needs, Gajendra said. He said, the Lord's always watching, and he's never lazy. He's always aware of the fact that we're eternally related to him, and he's simply waiting for us to turn our attention in his direction. So, one of the great secrets of spiritual life is that one has to have a deep desire and to offer that prayer that will actually have the sincere vibration in it that attracts Krishna's attention. Sometimes we notice that with little babies, the mothers can recognize the cry of the baby, whether it's actually really in trouble or if just fooling around. When the baby's really in distress, the mother, I've heard, can hear it from a long way away. Others may not even hear it. It sounded like a dog whistle. A certain frequency you can hear. That the mother's tuned in to that frequency and can hear. So Krishna's tuned into this frequency when we're actually sincerely praying and we're asking, please, let me engage in your service, or even please help me, please give me some direction. So these prayers that we offer, Om Agyanati Medandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Nudatam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, are meant to be offered with full consciousness, remembering that my situation is really precarious in this world. The great poet Jayadev said, Kamala Dalajala Jivana Talamala. I realize that I'm in such a tenuous situation in this world that I'm like a drop of water on a lotus leaf that can slip off at any moment. And oftentimes, I don't see that. I simply think I'm okay. I'm copping the lean. I'm leaning out thinking I'm good. I'm okay. And even if I was worshiping Krishna, if I came to the temple and worshiped Krishna and sort of did my mantras, and he spoke to me and said, now you stay here and you surrender and just attend to my needs, he might say, I'm really sorry, but I got to go to work. I got other things to do. And therefore, maybe he doesn't talk to us as much. But when we're ready for that, when we prepare ourselves and actually call out in a helpless way, Krishna will respond reciprocally. And this is one of the statements that Krishna makes in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyatamam prapadyante tamstatayava bhajamyaham. mama vart manavartante manushya parta sarvasha, that as a devotee surrenders to me, I reward him or her accordingly. And therefore, it is optional to stay in the material world or to turn one's attention towards Krishna. And the best way to turn one's attention towards Krishna is through prayer. And the best prayer is this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The acharyas recommend that one start one's day by chanting this Maha Mantra a fixed number of times. And there are a few tricks to chanting that can really help so that one can take full advantage of the process of making this prayer every day. One of them is to turn off all electronic devices. And it's remarkable how much of a difference it makes. You may say, well, my computer is sleeping right now, so it's okay. Or my phone's on, it's on buzzer mode. It won't ring loud, but that's not good enough. You have to actually turn it off and maybe put it in another part of the city. And it's amazing how peaceful one can feel when one's not connected to all the information that's coming in from the outside world. It opens a whole nother realm of awareness. So this is just a simple trick to turn off all electronic devices. If you have a phone that's plugged into the wall and not a cellular phone, you can actually unhook it on the back. There's a little plug back there you can pull out, and it'll die. It'll die to the world. So try that, and then also turn your cell phone all the way off, and computer all the way off, and then also tell everybody else in your family or in your whoever you're associating with that I'm going to be meditating, and I won't be able to talk. And however long the time is, for instance, if it takes you 2 hours, and say you're chanting 16 rounds a day, or let's say you're chanting 4 rounds a day, and you need for that a good half an hour, right? So then let everybody know that I can't be reached for half an hour, and that if you have something to say to me, unless the house is burning down or something like that. Winston Churchill used to, during the war, he used to put a sign outside, or he had a sign that he put outside and when he'd take his afternoon nap and say that a penalty of death if you wake me up, unless it's a national emergency. And even then, you better think twice. So that sort of mood and meditation is really important. Of course, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is presented as being all-powerful, but I also have to be receptive to it. So there's some ways in which I can show that I'm receptive, and that is turning all my attention towards the chanting. And that requires a little adjustment. So turning off everything and letting everybody know is a really good start. Just telling everybody that I'm not available for any comments, and I'm not available to receive any information for the next half an hour. Or hour and a half, 2 hours. Try it for a month, see what happens, how your life changes. If you ever have the luxury of that, say, I can't be reached for a month. You volunteering? Okay, you give him the mic, let's hear what this is.
Generally, I try to keep my phone on airplane mode when I'm chanting, but many times in between the chanting, I try to see if there is something happening.
Yeah.
But today I just turned it off and just checked. And even it was good experience actually. And even in between there was an urge to go and switch on and check actually what's happening.
Yeah.
But then I just kept the phone aside. So it was a good experience.
It actually is a good experience. I would describe it as a relief. And there's a kind of relief that one feels when one doesn't have to attend to all these things. And it's not just the cell phone, it's also our minds. Well, it's not just cell phones, it's my mind. But there's a way the mind's always on, and it keeps receiving signals, and I keep responding to them. So you have to give yourself a time each day to not respond to all of those stimuli that come into your mental system. In the Gita, Krishna says, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantamapnoti nakamakami. That the way to become peaceful, I mean, you can say the verse several ways, but the way to become peaceful is to not become a kamakami. Don't chase after those stimuli that come into your... What is the kami, kama? It's these desires to interact with the world. So what is the greatest need, actually, of the human being? You have to nurture the human spirit. And for that, you have to introspect. Introspect. It means to look within. Kumbh Mela out there. Don't mind. Introspect is very powerful. Introspection. It's something that I may miss. I may miss it for the first... I mean, it's possible to miss it all the way through your babyhood. It's possible to miss it all the way through your childhood. It's possible to miss it through all your adolescent years. It's possible to miss introspecting even one time all the way through your adult years. And it's possible to miss it also in the later part of your life. In which case, you might live a whole life without even one time turning everything off, including your mind, and looking inwardly and trying to be prayerful, deeply prayerful. Is there one time in my life when I actually uttered a prayer that was so, where I felt so helpless, and I was so desirous of connecting with Krishna that nothing else mattered in my life? Have I had one moment like that in my life? The Bhagavatam, therefore, says, better one moment like that than an entire lifetime of material engagement in which there's no recognition of one's self, of your real self. And that self is dependent on the Supreme Self, and at every moment the Supreme Self is showering His grace, but I'm not receiving it. I'm in the wrong wavelength. I'm looking somewhere else, completely distracted. So don't be a kamakami, says the verse, and compares the ocean is receiving many rivers, but it doesn't change its level. And so for meditating in the morning in our japa, chanting the holy names, we have to practice that these, as you mentioned, you turn your phone off, airplane mode, but still there's some urge there. It's like, what is it? Is there anything new? I mean, just think about the word news. What is news anyway? I mean, there's a 24-hour news cycle. When I was a kid, there was like one channel, I think, Huntley Brinkley. And actually, you had to go across the room and turn the channel like this. You couldn't sit there and go like that. I mean, there have been a lot of inventions that have been very detrimental to meditation, I must say. Makes it a lot harder. You can just kind of sit in a little bubble and click things and look at stuff. But what is news anyway? I always think about, what is news? It's just information coming from different places. Do you need to know it? Do I even need to know? You know, Andrew Weil, who's advocates natural medicine, he was an allopathic doctor from Harvard, but he does a lot of work with helping people heal themselves in natural ways. One of the things he recommended for people was do a news fast. Don't listen to the news for a month and see how you feel. And it's amazing that because you actually don't have to worry about it. I mean, you can't do anything about it anyway. I was at a program yesterday, and one of the guests told me that someone told him something that really helped him, and that was that if there's a problem and you can do something about it, then do something about it. And if you can't, then don't worry about it. And it's similar that there's so much information coming into my mind all the time. And my senses pick up stimuli also. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev said that all the time my senses are pulling in various directions. They all have their particular way of thinking. They're actually very sensitive, and they have urges. So first step, that Rupa Goswami gives. He's our main acharya, directly learned from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he comes out in his teachings and he says, start at the beginning. What are the first words he puts? Vacho vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiha vegam, udarapasta vegam. He's talking about the urges of the senses. Said, learn to be dhira. What does dhira mean anyway? Dhira. Huh? Sober? Sober. Hey, that's interesting. You mean like we're generally intoxicated, right? Yeah, Kunti Devi said this in her prayers, that I'm generally, people get intoxicated. Janmaishvara shruta shribir edamana madapuman naivarha yabitatumbai tvamakinchana gocharam. There's a way in which from my circumstances I'll pick up some way to be intoxicated and kapaline. And I get disturbed by various urges. So you have to practice. Practice not being disturbed by these urges. And the best time to do it is every day in the morning when you can chant. Krishna says in the Gita, Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indrayaischaran Atma Vasher Vatayatma Prasadam Arigachati. He said, if you do this, you can actually get something. What are you going to get? You're going to feel some favor of the Lord. Prasadi. Get some prasad. And how are you going to get it? Just by using your own volition. The power you have. And this is your right to use this power to control your senses. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Control your senses. Regulate your senses. This is another way of saying controlling your senses. You regulate them. And one of the best regulations, the bhakti regulation, is take the morning time, so at least some part of your morning, to chant without any other distraction. So some of the distractions we mentioned, they may come from the ways in which I'm used to taking information from the outside world. And then also, internally, my mind may be overstimulated. Or even if it's not overstimulated, it's generally it generally roams from one place to another. And in the Gita, Krishna recommends that you bring it back when you're meditating and you put it in one place. And the place to put it is to put your attention on the Maha Mantra. So again, the Maha Mantra goes like this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Within the mantra. Actually, the mantra itself is not different from Krishna. It's a deity of Krishna. It's Krishna manifest perfectly in sound. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nambina kichu nahiko aro chauda bhuvana maje. Understand that this is the greatest gift that you have. And there's nothing else to be had within the 14 worlds. You can't get anything like this anywhere else. And if you can convince your mind before you start to chant of this fact, that you'll get everything here, and if you go outside of this, that you won't get anything. There's nothing to be had. But right here you can get everything. Then you can, maybe even for a moment, if you can have one moment, maybe 7 seconds of clarity, that's a lot, in chanting. And actually feel yourself praying and feel yourself to be helplessly praying. Please engage me in your service. In one moment of clarity, chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can gain so much spiritual impetus that it will carry one, it will give one the wherewithal to actually control the senses, the urge of the senses, because one realizes there's a higher prize than the little the little incentives that the senses are offering that just stimulate me and you'll be happy. But if one realizes there's something way beyond that that's achieved by carefully controlling oneself and focusing on the Maha Mantra, then one can make spiritual advancement without any impediment, simply by that. So that's one of the great secrets that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to this world, that everything that we need is contained within the holy name, and that we can take full advantage of it if we have good association and good instruction, and we practice. So let's chant the holy name now in sort of low voices. And we'll count them. If you hold up your right hand and repeat after me, I solemnly swear. No. I'm just going to show you that. On your hand, I solemnly swear to turn off all electronic devices. Before chanting my japa tomorrow. Well, what else can we get? Okay. Yeah, so let's try that. Starting tomorrow, turn off everything and just see what happens. Anything around the house that could go off, turn it off and tell everybody that I'm doing this now. So you'll have, when you put that much intention into it, then you'll have more attention. The words are very related because they both have the word ten within, which means to connect. Attention, intention. If you make your intention known to the world that I'm going to focus now, then you'll get yourself some permission. Get a little shelter from the storm. The storm is coming in the form of all this information that's coming in from every direction. And it really doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter ultimately. Well, I'm not going to talk about politics because somebody's going to get upset. Who wins the election here, there, or anywhere? And it definitely doesn't matter who wins the cricket match. You know, it really doesn't. It really doesn't matter who wins the cricket match. That's a direct connection to one's false ego. Anyway, don't get me started on that. But if we give ourselves some opportunity to shut down and purposefully, intentionally concentrate, we'll make spiritual advancement. This is a guarantee, definitely. So here's a way to count. Hold up your right hand. Put your thumb on the middle segment of your ring finger. Krishna 1. Move it down to the bottom of your ring finger. Krishna 2. Bottom of your little finger. Krishna 3. Middle of your ring finger, Krishna 4. Top of your ring of your little finger, Krishna 5. Top of your ring finger, Krishna 6. Top of your middle finger, Krishna 7. Top of your index finger, Krishna 8. Middle of your index finger, Krishna 9. And bottom of your index finger, Krishna 10. Let's try it quick. Krishna 1, Krishna 2, Krishna 3, Krishna 4, Krishna 5, Krishna 6, Krishna 7, Krishna 8, Krishna 9, Krishna 10. Okay, so you can count anywhere you go. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made little knots, and he counted on knots. He also chanted on beads under the Imlital tree. He would take the morning time to sit under Imlital tree when he was in Vrindavan and chant. He'd do his regulated chanting there. And he also made these knots, says Vrindavan Das Thakur, just to show the importance of counting how many rounds you're doing and how many times you chant the Maha Mantra. This is part of regulating the senses. I do this many of this mantra every day. This is such a powerful start in spiritual life. It's a wedge that starts to push all the other useless kinds of activities out of my life gradually. And you can start anywhere with some determination that this is how many I do no matter what. Even if it's 10 or even if it's 1, but you start and consistency will save the day, being consistent. So let's try 30 times chanting the whole Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra, by the way, has 32 syllables. This is mentioned in the Shastra. It's 32 syllables and it's 16 words. 16 words, 32 syllables, correct? Just making sure we have the right mantra. It's mentioned in the Shastra, iti sodasakam nam nam kali kalmashanashanam. It mentions how many syllables, how many words it has, and we've heard it from, what's that? We've heard it from the acharyas that chant this mantra. So you can have full faith in this mantra. It is a mystical formula, syllables, an incantation, if you will, that will produce results beyond what you can expect from working in Silicon Valley as hard as you can for the next 10 million years. That's pretty good, right? Chanting one time sincerely. So with full attention, let's try it. Let's see what happens. Does anybody have anything with an on-off switch? What should we do? Okay, let's try it. Let's practice like a fire drill. We'll turn it off. Mine's on airplane mode. I'm turning it off now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, dead to the world. I feel better already. I'm probably not getting radiated also. Okay. Now, if anybody runs in the room and starts making noise and everything like that, just focus internally and don't move your attention anywhere else, okay? And then the goal of this experiment will be to see if we can't take this advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and consider that there's nothing else to be had anywhere in Silicon Valley or anywhere else in the universe except for this one sound, and give full attention to this one sound, this mantra, which we know is authorized. It comes from the scripture. It's been recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the great acharyas. And we'll keep our mind just focused on that. Everyone okay? Are you ready? Okay, three more things. One is sit up a little straighter than you are now, because the moment that you sit up a little straighter than you are now, wherever you are, then your mind starts to think, oh, we're going to do something serious. It's amazing, the mind-body connection. As soon as you sit up, and if you sit up in front of somebody, they'll think, oh, we're going to get serious now? Like if you're talking to somebody, you're talking to your spouse or a friend, and it's, all of a sudden you sit up and they go, what's the matter? What are we going to do now? So it has the same effect on your mind when you sit up a little straighter than you are now. And then the next thing is pronounce the mantra in a way that anyone else would recognize that it's actually the Maha Mantra. And if you're not sure if you're doing that or not, it's a scary thing to do, but I dare you to try it, is record yourself chanting and see how you're doing. As I know, it's possible to chant for 20 years and people saying, I don't know about that. And he goes, I'm fine. And then you listen to yourself, oh, I wasn't chanting the Maha Mantra all this time. So try to pronounce the mantra and make the syllables. They're very sweet, says all the great advanced acharyas. They say that there's so much sweetness within these syllables, it can't even be measured. And then the third thing is to be prayerful. Just chant from your heart. One thing, I need help. Hare Krishna, please help me, Krishna, to come closer to you. Three things. Posture, pronunciation, prayer. Think we can do it? 30 times. You ready? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And the next practice that one can very fruitfully enact every day as part of one's spiritual regimen is to read from the scripture. So now we're going to look at a chapter from the Bhagavad Gita, and it's highly recommended. Who's it highly recommended by? Srila Prabhupada highly recommended that one chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And this is a really good habit to develop. If you can develop this habit that every day, no matter what, you sing one of the chapters of Bhagavad Gita, either the Sanskrit or the English, you'll fortify your life in a very powerful way. Because the Bhagavad Gita is, well, it's the words of Krishna directly. It appeals to one's intelligence. In fact, in the Gita, Krishna says that one who studies this dialogue between myself and Arjuna worships me by his or her intelligence. And to actually navigate through this world that's full of, well, hard choices. And there are all kinds of... Do you find that? Do you find hard choices sometimes? Just one person. Okay. Every day. Yeah, okay, I feel better then too. Because I find the same thing. There are a lot of choices to make. By reading one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, one develops a spiritual intelligence. And one can make decisions about what to do in life very effectively. Make good decisions, the right decisions. And it's available. And one of the problems with something being so available is it's easy for me to take it for granted. Oftentimes when we distribute Bhagavad Gita to people, sometimes people say, oh, I know Bhagavad Gita. And it's easy if you've lived with the Bhagavad Gita all your life just to think, oh, it's, yeah, of course, it's the Gita. Everybody knows the Gita. Do your work. Or whatever sutra you've taken from it. But there's a lot. The Gita is an ocean. You can go so deeply within that ocean that you'll feel like you're swimming in the spiritual energy. And you are. It's directly from Krishna's mouth. So this is a very simple thing, after you finish your chanting or just before, to have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita and have it marked where you're going to chant your chapter. And there's a couple ways to do it. One way is to recite the same chapter over and over again until it actually becomes a part of your existence. You'll start thinking about it when you're doing other things. Like, what other things might you be doing? Cooking. All of a sudden you're cooking, and what verse comes into your mind, Kameshwari? Patram pushpam palam doyam. That's a good one. Or where else might you be when a verse comes into your mind? Where? At Oracle. Yeah, you could be at your work, right? You could be driving in the car. You could be taking a shower. You could be anywhere. And the verse will come into your mind because you put it there. Or you took the trouble to worship that verse by taking some of your time, this valuable human form of life, which you can't buy back 1 second, and you used it to hear Bhagavad Gita. That's valuable. That's the most valuable thing you can do. And if it'll come back to you by Krishna's mercy. So one daily practice that Srila Prabhupada recommended, and that anybody can do now because the Bhagavad Gita is so available, and you just keep a copy with you, and you can just tell people around you, this is what I do. I do one chapter a day. In fact, whenever I travel somewhere, I mention to my hosts, they say, anything that we can do, diet, this, that, other thing. I say, well, one thing is, I'd like to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day with the family. Could we sit down and chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita? They say, oh, sure. Yeah, we'll do that. So when you get there, everyone's ready. Because otherwise, you could sit around and talk, and you won't feel the same if you sit around and talk as you do if you sit around and at least chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? So you got to prepare yourself. And another thing that you can do is make a photocopy of the chapter that you're studying and carry it with you in your bag, your purse, wherever you go. And that way you have it ready to go. You can just pull it out at any time and do your chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Because sometimes life gets a little crunched, right? No? Okay. Yeah, so be ready. Prepare yourself for this thing. And see how consistently you can do this. Chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. It's a challenge to you to see how you can do this. How many days do you think you could do it in a row? Anybody? Okay, I got all the ringers in front here. They're all saying every day. For how many days do you think you can do? Anybody want to take the challenge? 2 days? 2 days in a row? Three? All right, let's try it 1 day in a row. Let's do one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What would you like to do?
12.
12, 15? Okay, we'll try 12. Let's try chapter 12 and see how we do. Everyone okay with that?
Yes.
So what would you like to do? Would you like to recite the, those who would like to recite all the English can raise their hands. All those who want to recite all the Sanskrit can raise your hand. So let's start over. Number one, all English. Okay, put your hands down. Number two, all Sanskrit. Okay, we'll do both then. All right. Well, let's try both. All right, so we'll do all the Sanskrit through and then we'll do all the English through. How's that? Are you ready? Okay. This, if you're not already, if you don't already have this habit, just think about it while you're doing this. Could I maybe do this every day? Now, you don't have to do Sanskrit and English. You can do Sanskrit one day, English next day, or just do the English every day. But consider it. Keep an open mind that how would this change my life practically if every day I just read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Keep in mind. Okay, let's try. Arjuna vacha evam satata yukta ye bhaktas tvam paryupasate ye chapakshanam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha Shri Bhagavan uvacha maya vesha mano ye mam nitya yukta upasate Shadaya pareyo petas te me yuktatama mataha ye twaksharam anirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gam achintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam saniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabudhayaha te prapnuvanti mameva sarva bhuta hiterataha klesho dikataraste-sham avyakta sakta cetasam avyakta hi gatir tukam nehavad bir avapyate etu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha Ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate tesham aham samudharta mrityu sangsara sagarat pavamina chirat partha maya veshita tetasam maiva mana adhatsva mai bhutim diveshaya Nivashishyasi ma eva ata urvam nasamshayaha ata chitam samadatum nashaknoshi mayistiram abhyasa yogino tato mamichaptum dananjaya abhyase pyasamartosi matkarma paramobhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi ataitad apyashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashritaha sarva karma palatyagam tata kuru yatatmavan shreyo hi jnanam abhyasaj jnanat jnanam vashishyate Dhyanat karma pala tyagas, tyagat shantir anantaram, adveshta sarva bhutanam, maitra karuna evacha, nirmamo nirahankara, samatukha sukakshami, santushta satatam yogi, yatatma drita nishchayaha, Mayarpita mano buddhir yomad pakta same priyaha yasman nod vijate loko lokan nod vijate chayaha harsha marsha bayod veger mukto yasa chame priyaha anapeksha shuchir daksha udasino gatavyataha Sarvaramba parityagi Yo mad bhakta same priyaha. Yo na hrishyati na dveshti. Na shochati na kangshati. Shubha shubha parityagi. Bhakti manya same priyaha. Samakshatrau cha mitrecha. Tata mana pamana yoho. Shitoshna sukhatu keshu. Samaksanga vivarjitaha. Tulya nindas tutir mauni. Santushto yena kena chit. Aniketa stira matir. Bhakti man me priyo naraha. Yetu dharmam ritam idam. Yatoktam paryupasate. Shadadhana matparama. Bhaktaste tiva mi priyaha. Om tat sat iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu. Brahmavidyayam yoga shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna sambade. Bhakti yoga nama dvadashodhyayaha. Hari Om. I'd like to also hear from those of you at home or listening in. Everyone can turn to the camera and say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We welcome our greater audience, I mean greater in numbers, who are on the internet tuned in today. We're here in the as part of the studio audience broadcasting out to the world. And maybe you can text in as soon as we turn our phones back on and let us know if you're able to chant with us the Ma Mantra and also the chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So let's go on to the English. And one of the objectives in doing this as a group is to stay in sync. You can observe the commas and the periods, and that helps. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. If you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action, for by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. He by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service, and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Om Tat Sat. So, if you practice this every day, you do just the Sanskrit, just do the English, but each day take time out to recite at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Immediately you'll begin to experience that you have communion directly with Krishna. That combined with the chanting comes to 2/3 of my recommendations for the day. And for the last one, I'll tell you something, a great secret about how to stimulate your spiritual life. May I please have some copies of the Perfection of Yoga? Bring me a stack from the book room. And that is to give Krishna consciousness to others. Now, that may seem a little bit scary because other people are busy, and what if somebody looks at me the wrong way if I mention it? Nothing more scary than being rejected, right? I bring it up and then someone says, why did you bring that up? Of course, the funny thing is that practically never happens. It's very rare. Once out of 1,000 times someone objects to being introduced to Krishna consciousness. But still, in my mind, I might think it's a scary thing. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended, actually he asked everyone, and sometimes it's even mentioned that he ordered everybody, maybe that makes it easier, right? To distribute Krishna consciousness to other people. Now here's a simple way that you can do it without too much trouble at all, and that will excite you to do the other parts of your practice, this chanting and the reading of Bhagavad Gita every day. And that is, what is this I'm holding here? What am I holding? Starts with a B. Ends with a K. What is it? A book. Okay. What's a book anyway? What is it? It's an amazing thing. It's a container. Yes, it's a container. And inside this container, there are ideas. Books change the world. All over the world, people have ideas about the way things work. They haven't seen it themselves. They just accept it from prevailing theories and ideas. And where do those come from? From books. For instance, the idea about evolution. Has anybody heard about evolution before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of evolution. Where'd you hear about it? In school. Okay. Well, in school you heard about evolution. And do you have a little bit of an idea what it is? One person? Okay. Anyone, everyone's heard of it. Anybody here have a copy of Darwin's book? What's it called? Evolution of the Species? Origin of the Species. Anybody have a copy? They do for a little light reading at night before you go to bed. You don't have a copy, but you've heard of evolution, right? Ever seen the book around? No. And you know anybody who has the book?
No.
But everyone knows about evolution. Why? Because somebody took the trouble to write it down. And it got into a little container, and that container went out here, there, and everywhere around the world. People started reading it. It's a container with seeds inside, little seeds. And when those seeds spill out, they start growing here, there, and everywhere. And people pick up ideas. That's how ideas get spread in human society, through books. Through books. So, what if you had a book that didn't have normal seeds in it? It had spiritual seeds that came from the spiritual world. What if? I'm seriously asking you. It's not a rhetorical question. What would you do? You'd want it, you'd grab it, and you'd share it. Now, what if you had a bunch of them? I mean, what if they're easy to print? I mean, there was a time not too long ago when printing this many books would have taken maybe a year or two. Because you'd have to copy each one by hand. Do you realize that? Anybody here was born before computers were? Yeah, I remember. We only had typewriters. But before that, typewriter was a very advanced kind of a implement that came into society, right? Does anybody remember typewriters? You ever seen one? Okay, I feel a little better. But before that, that people wrote by hand. And they had little quills, they'd dip into ink and they'd write it. And before that, people would write on anything. And in India, people wrote on palm leaves. And they'd make a little impression with a stylus. And it takes a lot of effort to write one book like this. But nowadays, we print these. You can print a million books in a couple days. You run it on a high-speed press, and they just come out like this. I mean, it takes a lot of care, actually, to put a book together correctly, but it takes a lot of work. Still the same effect. The seeds are still inside. So here's what Srila Prabhupada recommends. In fact, let me see if I have my Bhagavatam with me. I'll read you a statement he made. First of all, the premise is that there's a Yuga Dharma, and that means there's a special sacrifice that you can make in every age. And the sacrifice that you can make in this age is called the Sankirtan Dharma. And here's just a statement by our founder Acharya. He writes, formerly all activities were performed in connection with Vishnu, but after Satya Yuga there were symptoms of disrespectful dealings among Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is he who has helped others become Vaishnavas. An example of one who has converted many others into Vaishnavas is Narada Muni. A powerful Vaishnava who has converted others into Vaishnavas is to be worshipped, but because of material contamination, sometimes such an exalted Vaishnava is disrespected by other minor Vaishnavas. When great saintly persons saw this contamination, they introduced worship of the deity in the temple. This began in Treta Yuga and was especially prominent in Dwapara Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, now, worship of the deity is being neglected. Therefore, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than deity worship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was set a practical example in that he did not establish any temples or deities, but he profusely introduced the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Krishna-conscious preachers should give more stress to the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing transcendental literature more and more. You'll hear that come up quite a bit. So there's chanting of the holy names, and there's also literary kirtan. That is, the kirtan, the sound vibration is written down. And when it goes out into society, these books go from one hand to the next. They end up in the most amazing places. And when people open them, what do you think will happen if I open this? Do you dare me to open it? Just pretend like it's the first time I ever got a book and I'm about to open the book. What do you think is going to happen? All right, let's say one of you you took the impetus to take one of these books out and distribute it when you were going to the store, for instance, and I'm the storekeeper. I picked it up and say, all right, let's see what they gave me. What do you think will happen when I open it? Seeds will pop out. Let me just try it. I'll just open it randomly and see what I read and see what somebody's going to look at for the first time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Whew, this is scary. Okay. If one wants to engage in yoga at home, then he has to make certain that his other engagements are moderate. He cannot spend long hours of the day working hard simply to earn a livelihood. One should work very moderately, eat very moderately, gratify the senses very moderately, and keep his life as free from anxiety as possible. In this way, the practice of yoga may be successful. That's some useful information. This is useful. CNN is not useful, guarantee you. It's not. It's not helpful. But this is helpful. These are seeds that actually can help somebody become free from anxiety. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, do your own bhajan at home. You have to chant. That's one thing you have to do. And you have to turn off everything before you chant. Second thing, you got to read the Bhagavad Gita. You just have to. It's the best book in the universe. You don't want to miss it. You should read it every day. Third thing is, you should share Krishna with others. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's doctrine. This is what he taught. And the easy way is to get these little books. And you take them out, and instead of just walking to the store and then walking back, put a book in your pocket. And all the way there, pray to Krishna and say, please give me an opportunity to meet somebody that I can give this book to. And you know what? It changes an ordinary trip to the store to a spiritual excursion. Your vision of the world will change. And if you get in the habit of saying, here, have one of these, have one of these, have one of these, and give people a little invitation to the spiritual world, pass these on, you will become invigorated, and your own chanting and your own reading of Bhagavad Gita will be enhanced. So these are three ideas that you can practically implement. Well, you already did. We chanted 30 Maha Mantras, right?
Yes.
31, some of us. And we also chanted one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Wasn't so bad, right? Take a few minutes, like, you know, 7-8 minutes out of 24. And now, look at these books. They're beautiful. They're easy to carry. And you get some of these, and you just take them with you in a bag. And whenever you meet people, you just say, here, I have one of these to share with you, and give them a book and see what happens. Take the risk and see what happens by sharing with other people where you go. Three things. Now we'll take some reflections, things that you heard so far that stuck in your mind. From the internet first, because we did ask them. Oh, you better turn your phone back on. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Please help yourself. One thing that you heard that stuck in your mind, useful. Yes.
Many beautiful points, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. One point that struck me was you mentioned having even one moment of clarity is better than having a life of full comforts but without any intrinsic realization.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we should pray for that. Try to get it every day. This is what we call inspirational sadhana. Don't do sadhana just because you made a vow or something like that, although you should. If you made the vow, keep doing it. But the fact is, you should try to get some inspiration from your sadhana. Pray hard and really lean into it and see if you can't take something away. Even if it's one molecule, one spiritual molecule can sustain you for the rest of your life. And if you do it mindlessly, you might miss it. So try really hard. Okay, what else?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I like the point where you mentioned intense desire is needed, and Shastra also strikes the right chord, and
yes,
wherever the attention goes, right, the energy flows there. So that
if your desire is intense, it'll come out in your prayer, in your voice, in the way you work. Yes, Bali Mardan Prabhu.
So yes, the important point is turn off your mobile devices, which is very, very, very practical, and it really brings the attention closer to Krishna.
Yeah, even if you weren't going to chant, if you just turn everything off, you'll notice a difference in your consciousness. And we're definitely experimenting with consciousness. And if you add this clear background where you're not distracted and you chant, it'll take you beyond what you could expect. Yes, Aditya.
Maharaj, I like the point of news fast that you said.
So, news fast.
Yep.
Yeah.
So last year, I had actually someone installed the CNN app in my phone. I was in Wisconsin at that point of time. So I heard in a lecture that don't use CNN. I mean, don't watch it. So because that's what do we get from it anyway. So actually, I was getting some seeds of anxiety when I was going through those. Then after I heard a lecture, I just uninstalled it. And after a few weeks, I was like...
Yeah, it's like willfully drinking poison. And then you put on notifications. So everything, something that you can't do anything about anyway comes up. They'll put it on your phone and you go, guess what? And that'll become the topic. At, you know, when you sit down with your friends, with your family, is the first thing that'll come to your mind is some peak experience you had by reading the news. Is, guess what? We're all going to die. It's like, well, I know that, but no. Don't overstimulate your brain like that, and you'll be able to follow some of these principles that Krishna's talking about. Two more. Yes.
I don't remember the verse, but you mentioned that like the lotus, drop of water on the lotus leaf, jivana talamala. So I like that word talamala because it makes you feel unbalanced, that word itself, you know. And even that another, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, like Hacho Habu Dubu, so those words, like they remind you that, you know. They, even I think if no one knows the meaning, they'll understand that you are like in an unbalanced situation. So.
Yes, good to remember that. And Shastra tells us over and over again, be aware of the fact that you're in a precarious situation. There's danger at every step. And generally people don't think about it until somebody dies. And then Ram Nam Satya Hai. There's this whole idea that, oh yeah, after all, this was true. And for 3-4 days, maybe a week, they become aware of the fact that this is really true, spiritual life. And then they forget again. Yes. Did we get the internet back? Okay. Did you get anybody? One, okay.
Maharaj, that you mentioned that chanting one time is much more blissful and sweet than working for 10 million years in Silicon Valley.
Yes. Correct. Yes, from the internet.
Yeah. Maharaj, can I say one from mine?
Also? What?
Can I say something from my
field?
I like the fact that you said that you should pray to Krishna to enable you to distribute the book.
And pray to Krishna to what?
To distribute the book.
Yeah, pray to distribute the book. Yeah. When I first was introduced to book distribution in San Francisco, I joined the temple there in 1973, and book distribution is just starting to get going around the world, or especially in America, where it really started. And I heard about somebody in Los Angeles, California, who had been successful in distributing books and was going out every day and distributing 40 big books. That was unheard of at the time. So I went into the book room and I piled up 40 big books. And every day I'd sit there and chant my japa to those books. And I'd look at them and I'd just pray, Krishna, please show me how to distribute 40 big books in one day. And later he did. So all our advancement, whatever we want to do, whatever seva we want to do, it comes from asking Krishna. And that comes through the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now for the last word, we have our devotee who wrote in from the internet.
Yeah.
Or is that an essay there? Or
No,
it's not. Okay.
No, this is Radha Kripa Prabhu. He's in India.
Who is it?
Radha Kripa.
Oh.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
How nice.
So
yeah, we are missing him tonight.
So he's in India, and he says, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Feeling so thankful to internet and Ramananda Prabhu for live telecasting the lecture. I'm so happy to have your darshan and listen to your enlivening lecture. I'm feeling as if I'm sitting in the same ISP temple in the same row. My sincere gratitude to ISP broadcast team.
And then he's also saying that, yes, we complete both Sanskrit and English. And his sister's daughter, Smriti, also joined in the reading.
Jai Smriti, Hari Bol. Bhagavata Kripa, we do need you here for crowd control.
He has plenty to say on that, yeah.
Well, somehow or other, we're gonna struggle by without you, but don't stay away too long. So we have a few practical ideas, and now we can experience what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught about adding dance to your spiritual practice. There's nothing better than dancing. Then a few little tips about dancing is that here's one step called the Swami step that anybody can do. Now, all it's required, two arms, two legs, and even if you don't, just pretend that you do. And the Swami step was taught by Srila Prabhupada himself. And you don't have to keep your arms up all the time because it may be a little difficult to keep your arms up. But at some point, if you raise your arms like this, and now the footwork goes like this. One foot over the other, and then cross over the other side like this. And then at intervals, you can put your hands up like this. You can sway before the deities and raise your hands. And there's actually a visceral experience you'll have. It opens your heart. And there's a way in which we carry around a lot of anxieties in our heart and a lot of cares. And just like if you start dancing and you have change and car keys, that will all come flying out, right? So same thing, when you open yourself up, just say, Krishna, please help me. Remember Draupadi, when she raised her hands in the air and she said, O Govinda, It's up to you now. I'm completely helpless. And you can remember that when you put your hands in the air. Just, I'm helpless, please help me. And moving out of joy that we're here, we're able to practice Krishna consciousness, we have breath in our body, and just be grateful and dance out of gratitude and sing the Maha Mantra, and you'll experience the highest bliss just by doing this. Got the Swami step? Okay, you all ready? Now, it doesn't mean you have to dance. If you feel like you don't want to dance, it's okay. You can dance within your heart. Do make a little room for those who are, especially in the front. Move up really close to the front if you don't feel like dancing, and leave some room. Be aware of those who are dancing around you so you don't block anyone. Okay? Thank you very much, everyone. We're going to put the seats away, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to have a special ceremony where we can dance and see the
deities.